The epistle lesson this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning.
Our gospel lesson this morning is chapter 9. It is verses 1 through 41. So it's kind of a long story, but I invite you to settle back and to hear this story from the 9th chapter of John's gospel. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. And so the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was others. "No, it only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. And now the day on which Jesus had made mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. And therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. And then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind, and they had received his sight, until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. Is this the one that you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. The one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." And then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, I have told you already, and did you not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become disciples of his too? And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, and he listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you who were steeped in sin at birth, how dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him now. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now what you claim you can see, your guilt remains. May God bless the hearing and the understanding of this most holy word. There was a warrior, a veteran that fought through Vietnam. And he had some pretty hard days, some days of real horror, some days of real difficulty. And he came home and he began to come back into life and to begin to work and to function again and come back into the world that he had left. And yet this a year or two went past and this weird thing happened though. That even though he was kind of living a decent life and being a good guy, that on the anniversary of one of the most horrible days, one of the hardest days that he had while at war, one of the days of that was filled with pain and with violence, and he went out and almost on a whim committed an armed robbery. He committed an armed robbery. He took out a gun that he had at home, went down to the liquor store and said, stick him up. And took the cash and went home and put the gun away and went back to his life. And a year went by and he came up to the next anniversary and sure enough, he took out his gun and went down to the liquor store and stick him up. And they gave him the money, he went home and put his gun away, went back to his life. This went on for a number of years until finally he was arrested. That finally that somebody figured it out and that he was arrested on that day doing the same thing. He was blind to the very truth of his life. He couldn't see that he had taken that horror and that awfulness and he'd pushed it away in his life to such a degree that it poked itself up almost in a whim. Now we would look at that guy and we would say, well, of course he was making a conscious decision. Of course that he knew what he was doing. Of course nobody goes and commits an armed robbery just out of habit or out of the blindness of what they don't see about their life. And yet this guy did it and did it numerous times. When they asked him about it, he'd say it was almost in a fog, but it was an ability to recreate and to retouch back to that place of horror and that pain because he'd never brought it into the light of his world. He'd never looked at it. as a part of what he had gone through. He never let it be in the light. See, the great power of this Ephesians text is this simple line. And I want to talk about it because it's right at the heart. St. Paul is talking right to the heart of this thing, saying that everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This guy had at the edges of his consciousness pushed away some of the most difficult and tragic things of his life. And because they were not in the light, they could not be illuminated. They could not be made to be light. And this is at the heart of what the blind man and the Pharisees and Jesus and this entire story is trying to tell us. That for each one of us, there is something that we've got out there that we believe does not deserve to be in the light. That does not deserve to be looked at. That does not, for whatever reason, it should not and cannot be concentrated on. And it's the simple thing about the power of our sight. If we think about the physical representation of it alone, I can see about 270 degrees, about 280, 270 degrees, somewhere in there, just about that. I have pretty good peripheral vision over in there. I can see what my hands are doing, and yet I can only focus. If I'm going to make your face out, or you're going to make mine out. Or you're going to roll your eyes to the ceiling fans and try and figure out what you're going to have for lunch. Whatever it is, we can only concentrate on 1/30,000th of what we can actually see. That the cells of the human eye that are so sensitive that we might be able to focus, and that those may be able to be that may be able to create a focused image in our minds is 1/30,000th of what we can entirely see. We are called to take these things of our life that are at the edges, that are in the darkness, that dwell in the shadows, and bring them into the light so that they may be light, so that they may be made good, so that they may be healed, so that they may be used and for goodness and for glory. Unless we leave them hanging out there. And that they become monsters of their own, dwelling in the dark, that may jump on us one day. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. You see, here is Jesus and the blind man. And this story is less about the healing from being blind, or at least as much as it is from the healing of being blind, from the seeing of that which is unseen, to actually defining what it is, what is okay to see. You see, that's what the Pharisees are doing. The blind man, I mean, the healing happens pretty quick, right? Like, oh, there's a blind man, been blind from birth. Okay, get your little facial and you're good to go. Off, go wash and you're good to go. That the healing actually happens almost immediately. And yet, this agonizing over the healing that begins to come from the Pharisees that want to say, not what's the nature of healing, but wants to say, what is it okay to look at? What is it okay to bring into the light? What is the definition of sin? I mean, that's what they're spending their time on. I mean, this in the Old Testament context, this guy was born blind. And if you were born blind, that meant there was something, there was a sin that happened in your family or you, that there was something foundationally flawed about you in a cosmic way. That's why something bad happened to you. That was the first century understanding. And I would say to you, in the 21st century, we sometimes haven't gotten that far along. That we'll still hold on to this idea of, well, why did I get into that car accident? Or why did this happen to me? Or how come that there must be something wrong with the way that I'm living, or something, the way that I'm doing this? There must be something wrong with, because this has happened to me, or that has happened to me, or I've been afflicted in this way. And the entire conversation that Jesus is having as the blind man and the Pharisee comes back, it gets called again and again and again back. Because they call him back three times. They call him back twice, and they call his parents back once, trying to make the point. And finally, they reject him for exactly this reason. They reject him for the fact that he was born flawed. You see, friends, I believe that is what is the heart of all of our own hang-up about what is allowed in the light. That's what's been so difficult for all of us to grapple with in our own life, is that, well, that happened to me, or this happened to me, and that happened to me, or this happened to me. But those things can't go in the light because they mean I must be foundationally flawed. That this logic of the Pharisees is not a logic that is 2,000 years old, but it's a logic that you and I apply to our lives again and again and again. You know, Ernest Hemingway said, you know, you can't get away from yourself by moving from one place to another. I always love that idea that we will change geography. You know, or one of my favorite cult movies is Buckaroo Banzai in the 25th and a half century. Anybody seen it? It's don't bother. It's a horrible, horrible film. But he has one line in the film which he always says again and again, which is, no matter where you go, there you are. That no matter where we go, what we believe is okay to be in the light. What we believe that God can heal. That voice of our own Pharisee that would say to us, you were just born bad. You were just born wrong. You were just made deficient. Your problem is not that you were. Your problem is not that you did this thing. Your problem is that you are. Your problem is that you exist, and you exist in this form. And because you exist in this form, light cannot shine on you, and it will not shine on you. This is the voice of the Pharisee that whispers to us in the darkness. And Jesus comes out to simply say, none of that is true. That, in fact, it's completely the opposite. The only thing that cannot have light shine upon it is the very judgment of that itself, is the very pharisaical idea itself. That what the promise that is in store for us is the idea that no matter where we have been, and no matter what we think or feel or seem to think we know about ourselves or about somebody else, that God's love turns that to light. But it must be in the light. This is the great call that we drag, sometimes kicking and screaming, the orphans and the blindness of our own lives into the light. Because otherwise, we simply live blinded by that very truth. You know, that's what I really, when I think of that Vietnam veteran so many years ago, when I think of that warrior so many years ago who was working and trying to keep his life together, and that almost unwittingly every year would go out and commit a crime so that he might touch back to that pain that he knew, because it could never be healed. It was never being brought into the light. When I think of that, it is that the heart of being blinded by the light of his life, blinded by the truth of our life. And we are called to be a people who see. We are called to be a people who appreciate the beauty and the joy of what is in our lives. We are called to receive and to know the abundance and beauty of God in our lives. Friends, everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Everything that is illuminated, everything that God's light shines upon, no matter how broken, how difficult, how painful, how hurtful, how lost, or how messed up you believe it to be, light is possible from it. You know, once that warrior got some help and began to face, and somebody showed him, this is what you've been doing, this is what's been going on over these past years, never happened again. That he put his pistol away, and he never went back to that place of violence, never went back to that place of pain, because once it came into the light, it could be healed by the God who made him. May God bless you and keep you this day. Amen.